Well, I guess this is the third week of our Walking Dead post show. This is for season 10, episode 3, Ghost. We're going to be talking about, the latest episode that we've seen. I did ask people to give us feedback about, again, no spoilers, hopefully, but what you thought of the new bonus episode that they came up with that premiered this weekend. And we can talk a little bit about the state of the Walking Dead. I'm glad we got an episode like this, because I was getting a little, like I mentioned on the podcast, a little antsy that we were going, jacking up all the levers to dumb, fun action, but like some of the characters had been, you know, not given a lot of time to shine, especially since, you know, we're coming in. And, you know, we're post-winter. We need to check in with everybody. I felt like this is a great episode to kind of like shows where Carol's head's at and some of the other big players in the game. So I had a lot of fun watching this episode. Yeah, like I said, this is an interesting episode that explored a lot of the relationships between the Alexandria folk. We haven't checked in with Hilltop this whole season, right?
That's true. Yeah, we've been to Oceanside and we've been at Alexandria.
Yeah, the kingdom's still abandoned, I imagine. So we just have the three settler camps at this point.
And whatever tent Daryl left in the woods, yeah.
Ah, right. The easternmost outpost of the Rick Empire. And then I guess, of course, you also have the Whisperers. We were talking about geography on the last podcast and of this show. I wonder if did we talk about this last year about how no one knew about the Whispers? Did we decide whether they had just recently come into contact with it? Because the way they portrayed the stuff with the satellite going down and all that stuff, it seems like geographically everybody's a little bit too squished up to never have seen a 10,000 strong horde. Or I wonder if like you're supposed to understand that some of the hordes that they've dealt with in the past that they've redirected and stuff have actually been Whisperers all along.
I don't know, man. I'm very confused by the horde stuff here because we've got hordes coming in from everywhere. I would have assumed that a lot of those would have been swept up and been part of the gigantic horde that Alpha's hoarding. But apparently not. Apparently there's just a ton of walkers out there still that are drawn in by this explosion.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good idea. The fact that like you have a, you know, some kind of big airburst explosion that would draw literally, you know, potentially tens of thousands of zombies from all the cardinal directions. Although I guess they're pretty far east, so you're probably not going to get attacked from that direction.
Right.
But north, south, and west, those are, you got to watch your caboose there. Alexandria. Mm-hmm. I wonder when we are going to check in with Hilltop, because it's kind of weird that we haven't thus far. You know, like, is Hilltop threatened by walker incursions? Because they got to be, in terms of like where you can see from planet Earth, like a satellite fall, they got to be close enough that they would draw a little bit of that traffic, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm trying to remember who's even at Hilltop. Like, it used to be Maggie and Sadiq and Enid, and all those people are dead or Tara's, over at Alexandria.
Tara's dead too?
Jesus is dead. Tara's dead.
Did they roll up Hilltop?
Possibly. Maybe? Who would have taken over? Boston Rob?
Yeah, maybe the harsh, Alexandria winter was like really harsh, and it just we'll have to check in. I hope that they didn't establish that like everyone left Hilltop and went to Alexandria during the storm, and we just like weren't paying attention. That doesn't seem right, because Hilltop was the strongest community, I think, like the most self-sufficient. The most, you know, had the most man. It seems like they got the blacksmith. There's a lot of good stuff that the Hilltop people got, that people in Alexandria and Oceanside and all that do not.
Yeah, maybe it's just the blacksmith running stuff up there now.
Now that they got Aaron with a Morningstar fist, and we talked about him having a Armies of Darkness type chainsaw attachment. Mm-hmm. Are there any other useful implements that he could put on there beside his hand?
Oh yeah, a trowel. I think like a vegetable peeler.
Yeah, I kind of want the show to do more of just experimenting with like attachments. You know, like you got a peeler, you got just a stabbing thing, a blunt force trauma instrument. You got flamethrower. Oh,
yes, a blowtorch.
Although I guess the problem with the Army of Darkness attachment is it seems like gasoline is in short supply in this world because everyone's gone back into horseback and wagons. Yeah. You know, you got like maybe a little bit left with Daryl's motorcycle. I wonder, just like bullets, you know, like Carol doesn't even have a full six shooter anymore. I wonder if those things are in short supply. Has to be. Who's refining gas now?
Nobody, as best I can tell. I think everybody should send in voicemails and let us know what the best attachment would be.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still going through my notes and see if there's any other kind of things that...
Back scratcher. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just keep that clipped on my belt at all times because you just never know. You never know when you're going to need... that's just something he should have as part of his hand attachment, like his middle finger. He should just be able to like pull on that and like, you know, a car, like those old school car antennas, it just extends out about 3 feet and he can just, you know, get the middle of the back and
Gadget that shit.
He's got like one of those back scratchers you get at like Chuck E. Cheese. It's like his little middle finger's got a little tiny scratching hand on the end of it. He just pulls it out and it's good to go.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah well, lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content plus ad-free feeds. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun fan favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk Podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
Yeah, I'm also like curious to hear what people have to say about Negan's, what Negan's up to, vis-a-vis his reverse psychology versus, like, you know, what was his game with Aaron, you know, like, the way I would have played that is I'd be maximum healthy Helperson the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron tells me to drop the crowbar, I'd be like, come on, you know, we've been slaying zombies together, my broomstick's getting broke, but I certainly wouldn't have, like, shoved him into, like, three hogweed zombies, left him to be blinded, gone back to a house and just kind of like, you know, let him get, but I don't know. I'm not, obviously I'm not Negan. He's a much more interesting guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like the arc there, right, is that Aaron's going to have to learn how to forgive here.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the ones that have personally lost something. I was also kind of surprised that Eugene was still trying with Rosita, because like I know that like we agreed that that was a good conversation that they had, but like I don't know, I felt like that they dealt with this last year when she kind of told him off about like.
Well, I think that's why she's so pissed, because she thought she dealt with it last year.
Yeah.
You know? And here he is still like trying to eye her boobs while she's breastfeeding and like.
Yeah.
She thought this matter was settled and Eugene won't let it rest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe finally he will. I don't know.
I wonder. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess like maybe. It would be, I don't know, appropriate, but he could revisit that, like, if Father Gabriel dies, because that's the thing, you know? Father Gabriel could get eaten next week, and then, you know, Sadiq is paired off with Dante, and Rosita's impressed. I don't know. I don't know how you talk Rosita and Eugene. But that's the thing. It's like, if something changes, then maybe you can revisit it. But I thought after further review that it was kind of bullshit that that happened. Let's see. Yeah, I was just going through my notes and
we do have a voicemail. Could pop over to that real quick.
If you can make it work, then sure.
Okay.
I don't know how to get it to go from waiting to approved.
Oh, I don't know. There's one ready.
All right.
Here we go.
I think he should have a fishing rod attachment. How awesome would that be? You'd like never lose a fish.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, like maybe when he's over at Oceanside, he can clip on his fish binder and I used to know the different types of reels, like the over under, the canister type, the fly. Yeah, fly. He needs a fly fishing rig. Put on some waders, big sun hat, and all that stuff.
He can have a few fishing attachments. I imagine a net might come in handy.
Mm.
Like I don't know if Judith is over there catching a fish and she's got a big one and can't quite reel it in. He could wade out there with a net attachment.
Mentioned
Oceanside. I wonder if he had the shield attached to that arm that way.
Oh man, I just, that's the thing, it's like I guess if I was going to do hand-to-hand zombie combat, maybe you can make an argument for having the flail, the blunt force trauma spiky thing attachment. Mm-hmm. But like, I think most time, like, why wouldn't you just want a weapon? Because maybe you need to drop something and, like, you know, bandage somebody up or help them to their feet. Or I was also thinking when he was blinded and passed out, I wrote this on my notes, but I forgot to say it. But like, what if he had a scratch? He's asleep and his, you know, like Negan takes a feather and tickles his nose and he just smashes his face in.
God. Yeah.
Like sometimes it's nice to be able to have handles and drop things, you know?
Yeah. How functional is that hand attachment that he's got?
It seems full. I mean, it seems like what they did is like, Merle's attack. If you remember when Merle lost his hand and he had like one of the conventional kind of amputee hooks, you know?
Yeah. Like
the fugitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he had a bayonet attachment like that. The problem with that is like you've always got the actor with his hand and then it's always unnaturally long because, you know, he can't really cut his arm off and do all that kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So the problem with that is, you know, to make it look natural, it's better just for him to just be wearing a glove. Now, the real question is how the fuck does that articulate hand actually work? You know, like it's Army of Darkness. No one asks those questions because, you know, Ash just understands about molecular structures and things. And he just makes it happen. But it's a real good question about how that actually works. I do assume it's fully functional, though.
Yeah. I agree with your point. Like it makes more sense to just carry around a knife, carry around a mace.
We have another message. I'm going to go check in and see, cause I just spoke to the moderator. Maybe I gave her the wrong link or she's having a trouble getting in.
Oh, do we not have a moderator? They're just coming directly to us.
Well, I mean, they're not getting approved or rejected. So, gotcha. I'm going to go ahead and approve cause I recognize both these people. So yeah, let's fuck it. No mods, no gods, no kings.
Okay.
Nothing between us and the eye. I should have rejected this because we already listened to it. Do you want to hit her next message?
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, I wanted to comment on the first of the pandemic episodes that aired this week.
Yes.
You guys, like I had pretty low expectations, thinking it was going to be some cutting room floor stuff or some real skeleton crew stuff. It was surprisingly competent. For my eyes, you wouldn't even have known that it was made during pandemic conditions. It kind of just played out like a regular episode. I'd be curious to hear what others say, spoiler free. And, maybe you guys can comment on those future prospects because you'll run into those episodes eventually.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's like when you said, it's surprisingly competent. I always, because that's the thing. I remember clearly when we abandoned The Walking Dead before season 9, you know, as we were going about our business and we're doing our stuff and we were doing things like lunch, I remember people ask like, hey, have you checked out season 9? Because guess what? It's surprisingly good. And I remember having to, I always expect that if we were to drop any show because we didn't like it anymore, there would always be people that miss us and want us to come back and everyone's taste is different. So it's like when people say, when people write in, I always take that with like kind of a grain of salt. But then when I went back and saw season 9, I'm like, well, shit, this is, I guess I would call it surprisingly good, but I think it's just like good at this point. So like, are we judging by the Walking Dead scale? Like, I mean, obviously I don't expect this to be amazing, but I'm genuinely shocked that these things are cool. These things are working at all. So
yeah, the fact that they're, that anyone really, other than like a super fan of Walking Dead, would call them anything but awful is impressive to me. Because, you know, like you said, it's you're judging on a Walking Dead scale, but like that scale is kind of all over the place too. Because if you judge on a season 1, season 2 scale, it's actually not, you know, not too bad. If you judge on a season 8 scale, it's complete crap. So. Mm-hmm. Who knows what a Walking Dead scale is anymore? But yeah, if they're decent, I'm kind of looking forward to getting to them. Just to sate my curiosity, honestly.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to, I think, how well the show's running that, like, they can do this crazy. And it does sound like the more we hear about it, it's less, like, bonus footage from the previous episodes, although that might be interesting springboard stuff, and more of, like, they just took small units and, you know, did socially distanced filming, essentially, and got these, like, little isolated episodes. But, yeah, I haven't been on, obviously, I haven't been to see what people said about it because I'm scared to death of getting spoilers.
Yeah.
I just talked to our moderator. She said that she's approving them, but like for whatever reason, I'm not seeing them being approved. So, but I guess the system's working. Maybe I got a refresh or something. I don't know. This is the first week we've done this, like 5 weeks. This is the first week we've had a weird moderation deal. Yeah. But, I don't know. What else? Oh, the other thing I was wondering if people had an opinion over which of the, and am I the only one that thinks this, but like, why is it that we assume that any of the Daryls that Carol talked to are real? Or why do we say that the truck driver one is real and the one that denied the truck driver dad is real was the real one? But I guess like, yeah, if they clear that up in a few, like I'm asking for spoilers here, but like, I just, that's the thing. It's like, I know narratively they want you to think the second story is real, but I'm not sure what they've had to give this, what we would be going on for that opinion.
Yeah. What was her state at the end of this episode? It was very, she was still like super tired, right? She hadn't slept yet.
Right.
So anything we're seeing from her POV could be not real until she sleeps.
Well, she definitely woke up. She got to Alexander, went to sleep. Oh, well, no, she didn't go to sleep. She passed out because she got, you know, impaled with a chunk of glass and they had the operator on her.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you call that like, because like I have, you know, whenever like I've gone in for surgery or something, I've been knocked out for a while. It's like, I don't really think of that as restful, you know, like I never like wake up from, you know, having trauma done to me and then be like, oh, man, I felt like I had a nice long nap. So maybe she certainly like, unapologetic for any of her behavior.
Which is everybody so knows. Carol.
Right. I was also kind of surprised that Michonne is so cool about it, relatively speaking.
Yeah. So the things I think you can say for sure about those scenes is that the stuff, some version of the gymnasium scene happened, right? Because we go back to it at the end and there are a bunch of dead walkers. Plus,
all the people woke up and like went, saw Carol standing there in the middle of the gymnasium surrounded by dead bodies.
Right. Whether she got, you know, snared in a whisper of snare or not, I have no idea. Which version of the Daryl story, I'm not sure is true. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think she's out of pills at this point.
Yeah. I was also curious about, like, we didn't talk about this in the podcast either, but the snare, like, again, I don't know if that's real or not, but like, why, who would have put a snare in the middle of this gymnasium and for what purpose?
Yeah.
Cause it kind of looked like a coil, like, you know, and it's just like some kind of accident, but like, I don't think that's how stuff works. Like, you know, what is it like, tied to a sandbag that was used by the drama department to hang lights or something. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, just a hair trigger of tension and it goes off.
I bet if you go back and like actually try and analyze those scenes, they're trying to do something with like, oh, the snare represents, her guilt over Henry and like, you know, the piece of glass represents some other thing, but I didn't pay close enough attention to it to do that.
Right. The loop represents civilization, and she feels trapped in it because she can't get out through her woods cabin that she feels at home in. I don't know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Does anybody, like, it could be a short show tonight.
Let's see what this next voicemail is. Yeah.
Oh, you guys see, my system's completely broke down. I see zero things on the board. I see two rejected messages. So I'm, you let me know when you got a message, because I'm just like, I'm filling time. There's nothing here. I don't know what's going on.
Oh boy. All right, let's hit this. It's probably just another attachment for Aaron. Get ready to riff.
All right.
Oh, shit. I hit it and it did nothing. Yep, nothing.
Be ready to riff? Okay.
All right. Well, the whole system is broken.
Yeah, so weird. I don't know, because the mod thing's working weird, and I've been sending it back and forth to Michelle trying to figure that out. I don't know what's going on. It's could be this is a brand new app. This has only been out for a little bit, so it could be that it's just a little bit of a bug. System's having a problem, or we did something kooky. Because the other thing I wanted to kind of get people's opinion is what do we think was going on between Dr. Dante and Dr. Sadiq?
Yeah,
they're going to give each other a second opinion.
a physical examination, sure.
Physical examination, yeah. I don't know. I've stretched this out as much as I possibly can. Yeah. So
why did the first two voicemails work and the third didn't? Oh.
Dude, I don't know. It's the way things are going.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Well,
where do you? I got a question. It'll take 30 seconds at least to talk about.
Yeah.
Where did they get their pink bandages for Carol?
I imagine they're probably dyeing that stuff. Custom bandages.
You think they're actually, you know, got regular bandages and they're like, you know what we need? High-vis pink. High-vis pink bandages.
Oh, yeah. They grow a few beets, get that beetroot juice mixed in with a whole lot of water. Just thin it out and then dye those bandages. Yeah.
All right. Well,
thing that I like most about this episode is the horror elements. Do you think they're going to be doing more of that? Because they did it a couple times this season so far that I've noticed. One is with Beto when they first meet him in the flashback last episode. They kind of had him looking like a big slasher villain.
Oh, yeah.
This episode, they did some actual like hallucination, ghost, jump scare type stuff. That we don't. Surprisingly, because it's a horror show, we don't actually get all that much horror in this show. I would like to see more of that.
Yeah, we used to. I mean, that was like it's stock and trade in the first season or two, but then people get used to the zombies. They're not as scary anymore. I like that they've returned to that. And it does seem like the episode where like Beta and Connie and Daryl all squared off in that like low-rise hotel.
Yep.
They filmed him kind of like a Jason Voorhees type character.
For sure. Yeah, that's what that character really is.
And this one is a one that I've not seen before. It's almost like a psychological horror film. Reminded it actually, what was that film that you had me watch that had David Caruso saying, fuck you. Session Nine. So like, it's like one of those things that it gave me a lot of Session Nine feels where they're like, you know, exploring this abandoned, you know, this abandoned building, and you're not really sure if you saw something out of the corner of your eye, and people's sanity is kind of frayed. They had that like really cool psychological horror, but I just don't know how you induce that. Like that'd be something that's hard to pull off every season, but like just going through the aesthetics of like, you know, like last season they explored some like Hammer horror looking stuff and, you know, creepy, misty graveyard kind of things, locations other than just the woods.
Right.
Actually doing some interesting lighting instead of just shooting day. They did have a pretty bad day to night scene, or shooting day for night. The one where, Eugene's trying to show off a Rosita. Like I thought that was like, you know, kind of old school, cheap day for night shooting for Walking Dead. But for the most part, I don't know. I hope.
Yeah, me too. Cause I really like horror movies and that stuff.
Yeah. And like, I know it's like, seems like, at this point there's they could do torture porn, you know, like where they're like hurting people and gross. And that, but that's not my personal taste, and they can do, you know, straight up zombie stuff. And then with Beta and some of the more powerful whispers, they can do, you know, slasher type stuff, but like, they're kind of limited because it's like this ghost, like, I don't know. It'd also be kind of cool if they had a straight up ghost, because I don't think they've ever done that. And I don't know what people would think if there was like the suggestion that ghosts could be real in this world.
I mean, if zombies can, why not?
Yeah, like I guess they've done a little psychological horror before. I never felt like horror, but like, remember when that ghost story, like calling Rick on the phone and he would see her appearing in like white dresses here and there? That wasn't ever scary, where I thought this was very much like, oh, is that Henry? Oh, no, it's actually a zombie girl. Oh, no, it's a whisperer. And just the way it was shot was less like, oh, Carol's cracking up and losing her mind, and more of like, this is just a genuinely scary situation.
Yeah, they did it with the governor, too, when he was chasing Andrea in one of those abandoned buildings.
Right.
I thought that episode was pretty cool. Speaking of Carol, that's like the other big question I have after this episode. How far are they going to go with Carol's psychosis, let's say, her seeing things, being haunted by the deaths of these children? Is this going to stretch out a whole season? Is she going to be dealing with this for a long time? Are they gearing up to eliminate her? What do you think is going on with that?
Well, I mean, that's what sucks, because I've got a little bit of spoiler and that I know that Carol and Daryl are going to be in a spinoff. I guess it could be a flashback, but I guess I could see her struggling this for a half season, you know. And the other question is, where did she get these pills? Is this going to be something out that causes for like, is maybe she got them out on the sea? Maybe she's getting them from Dante. Dante's you know, Dr. Feelgood type. well, that would be interesting group dynamic. Insert some monkey wrenches into that group dynamic if he's like supplying one of the most beloved figures with trucker speed. But I like, are they going to do like your, oh man, who was it? When they had Lawrence Gilliard Jr. And his alcohol, you know, was he an alcoholic? Was he some kind of other substance abuse?
I think he was an alcoholic, yeah.
Because they had that kind of whole thing. Like, he was always trying to find ways to, like, find alcohol and covertly drink. And I wonder if they'll do, you know, that's been a long time ago. I wonder if they'll do some kind of, like, drugs are bad, okay, type of thing with Barry.
I mean, I feel like they already did it this episode. This was,
yeah,
you know, not a great experience for her or anybody. Yeah.
I know meth is addictive, so it's like,
yeah,
being forced to cut cold turkey. Is she going to have like, is there going to be something where, because she stayed awake to dodge her ghosts and demons and to participate in the waves of attacks, is she going to have, and now she's got withdrawal from this methamphetamines? Like, is she going to have like shaky hands? Is that going to cause her to make a fatal mistake for somebody? It's like, you know, there's already we've talked about how she's almost showing an acceptable level of risk when it comes to other people's lives in this community. We know she also just wants to get the fuck out of there, get off on her boat and get away, or just take off with Daryl. Like, I wonder if they're setting her up on a trajectory where like her and Daryl will have to leave. Like, you know, they're just, but I don't know what you do with those characters. If you've got like, you know, Carol and Daryl roaming the road and there's too damaged to belong to a group. Uh-huh. What kind of legs does that series have? Like, they just avoid people, kill people, you know, do bushcraft arts and crafts things. Like what does that show actually look like? I don't know.
We did this Al and Joe experiment last year where we just had Al and Joe watch an episode of Ride and pretend that they had watched an episode of Walking Dead, or that they thought it was an episode of Walking Dead, and review that instead.
Right.
I feel like it would be close to that, where the show would just be Ride, but it would think it was Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you get what I mean, like, because what can you do? I mean, it's going to be like the same conversations over and over again. Are they going to meet a new group of survivors, and it's just going to turn into Walking Dead 2.0?
That's the thing. It's like, well, why did you even leave your old friends and family? You know, are they going to like become villains? Like, is there going to be some kind of, you know, they'll take people in, but they got to be people like themselves that don't have any attachments to people. And, you know, they're just there for utility and safety, but they don't actually care about you or something like that. I don't know, because I've been thinking, it's like, I love the idea. I think it's a cool idea, but it's very hard to see that. And that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know, because, you know, I trust Angela Kang. I don't trust anybody at AMC. So they could spin this thing off because the show's going away. But like, who's going to be the showrunner? Because if they can't do anything interesting with Carol and Daryl, then, you know, like, my loyalty only goes so far.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, man? You think we're ready to wrap up this feedback edition?
I think so. Let me try and hit the spot one more time.
Oh, we got another one? Okay. Well, if you missed the show, you can get a chance to give your live feedback. Know that we'll be back next Wednesday to take more of your thoughts live and on the air. We also are still taking conventional feedback at watchingdead@baldmove.com. We're just going to save all those up for like a super feedback wrap up, mid-season wrap up, when we get done with the first half of season 10. I guess the first third of season 10, as it turns out.
Because
we got 8 more episodes after that and 6 more episodes after that. But yeah, no, we'll see how it goes. Send that feedback into Watching Dead. We'll be getting to that in about 5 weeks. And again, every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you got some time, hit us up on stereo.com/baldmove. And until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
We'll see you next week.